It's Tuesday. It's segment three, and here on the Bob Steak and Chop House foul line.
That's a mating call, man.
Here is the opinion maker and long-time guest on our show. Here is Rick Goslin. Morning, Goose.
Good morning, Norm. The Cowboys are a little busier this week than last week, aren't they?
Well, they're taking all that money, and they realize they can buy maybe six slices of this pizza as opposed to the one pizza they could have purchased last week for the money.
Yeah, I've said that before. I said if I owned a team, I would tell my GM, do not participate in the first week of free agency. Start the Monday of the second week. You're going to get players that are almost on the same level and a lot less money. I think we're seeing that with Eric Berry and Robert Quinn, people like that. I mean, these are veteran guys, veteran producers. You know, if the Cowboys can, you know, get them signed or traded for, they're bettering their roster, making a better run at it.
Do you expect that to continue this week, basically, with, I mean, Quinn or maybe a Berry being the biggest name free agent acquisition, you know, happening this week, I guess?
Yeah, I'd be surprised they don't have some kind of impact move. I mean, we know Jerry the last 25 years, he likes having impact, and he was quiet, awfully quiet last week, and I don't think he can stay quiet too long in the off season. So I would expect something big to happen this week, a major signing, whether it's Berry or trading for Quinn or somebody like of that nature.
How about all of them? How about Cobb and Berry and Quinn?
Yeah, Cobb. I like Cobb. He was a great player in Green Bay. And you're not asking him to come in here and be your go-to guy. He's a slot receiver. I think he'd be a good addition. If you got those three, this roster looks better than it did, except for the pass rush, looks better than it did at the end of the season.
Well, the acquisition of Quinn, if that happens, and that's one of the things being discussed today, Mike and I discussed this is probably a round draft pick swap. The Cowboys give Miami a late four and take the Miami six or something akin to that for Quinn. All this, does not it appear to you all this is the Cowboys saying, listen, don't be fooled by us not giving the huge money to Earl Thomas. We're all in on a one-year basis.
Yeah, without question. I think the Cowboys for years kept digging that salary cap hole deeper and deeper and deeper with bad contracts. And I think they realized in the last couple of years, you know, we can't be giving out these bad contracts. You know, especially with the way they're drafting now, they need that money for their players. They can't be taking salary cap hits. And I think that's one of the reasons they're not participating in that first week. You know, that's when the crazy money is spent. Those guys are all salary cap casualties waiting to happen. In 2015, the Dolphins signed Ndamukong Suh for 6 years, $114 million. In the fourth year of that deal, he was starting the Super Bowl for the Rams. 2016, the Jaguars signed Malik Jackson, coming off a Super Bowl win, 6 years, $90 million. They cut him after 3 years. I mean, the bigger the name, the bigger the money, the more likely you're a salary cap casualty. And I think the Cowboys are past that point now.
Rick Goslin joining us. Goose, I did a segment yesterday kind of highlighting the fact that the Cowboys never trade good players or players for picks. And we juxtapose that against the Patriots, who do it all the time. But basically, the last time the Cowboys made a trade of any kind, giving up a player and getting a pick back, was 8 years ago when they got a seventh rounder for Patrick Creighton. Philosophically, do you think that's a bad model that needs to be corrected? And is that not something you can do when you're, quote, going for it, which they're allegedly doing these days?
Yeah. You look at it, Miami moving Quinn. They're in deep tank mode. I mean, they got rid of their quarterback. They signed Fitzpatrick. No one sees him as a long-term future. And when you trade away players for picks, you're saying that we're still in a building process. And the Cowboys, I think the Cowboys have to go all in on this season. You know, we've seen Jerry Jones quotes, you know, I'm not getting any younger. You know, how many more combines can I go to? You know, I want to win. I want to win now. So giving up, you know, a player that would merit a pick is a contributing player. And that pick isn't going to hit for you for 2 or 3 years. So I think they're all in this year, and I'd be shocked if they traded a player for a pick.
So whose window do you think we're working with? I mean, is it the Ezekiel Elliott window? Is it a DeMarcus Lawrence window? Is it Dak? Or is it actually a Jerry Jones window that this team is trying to win within?
It's always a Jerry Jones window. But I think with Zeke, I mean, he's the best player on your team. He's got probably three really, really good years left. I think that's your window. I think the Cowboys have to win it in the next 3 years. Now, you know, he may be gone in the seventh, eighth year, whatever the contract thing plays out, and you're still going to have Dak here. And then you have to, you know, build around Dak again. But with Zeke here, the key piece is in place to contend and play in a Super Bowl. So I think the window is Zeke, his prime. He's got probably three really good years left. And I think that's the window for the Cowboys. They have to do all they can in the next 3 years.
I'm going to change the window a little bit.
Okay.
The thinking on the window, not anything you've said. I think the Browns realize they have a 3 to 4 year window with the cheapness of Baker Mayfield.
Right.
They've filled up that window with players they hope can play for them for 3 or 4 years. I think the Texans realize the same thing, what they've got in Deshaun Watson. And the Rams, I believe, think the same thing in what they've got in Jared Goff. The Cowboys have one more year of Dak Prescott's cheapness. Isn't this, to some degree, also a pretty obvious money window?
Yeah, and you take it back even further, Seattle, Russell Wilson. I think Seattle showed people how to do it. Get a young, cheap quarterback and build a team around him. They were the first ones, I think, that really did it. And, yeah, but the question is, do they re-up Dak this year? Do they give that money up this year instead of waiting until the end of next season to do the deal? And if you give them the money this year, then you're closing that window some, because that's a chunk of money that's going to come out of your salary cap.
Why don't you just sign an extension there? Say Dak's going to get an extension that kicks in next year, 5 for $125 million.
Yeah, but you're still prorating the signing bonus.
Yeah.
And the Cowboys are the kings of extensions. So, yeah, that's what you're doing. You're not tearing up his contract. You're going to sign the extension to it. But, again, this should have been a priority after that first season. Let's do something last year to have a greater impact with Dak at least 2 years away from the money. And I think they missed that window.
So even though I don't agree with doing it, if this is truly their window, why isn't there a huge deal coming? Why didn't they then pony up for Earl Thomas? Or why is the most exciting thing we have is maybe a rumor about Randall Cobb or Robert Quinn? It doesn't feel like they're going for it with their actions.
Well, it depends what they get with Barry. I mean, you maybe get a player that's a step below Thomas at five steps below money-wise. I think money does come into play, and I think, you know, with Stephen controlling the purse strings now, I think money is more of a factor, and you don't want to basically blow a contract. Here's a guy who's 30 years old, coming off a major injury. You're really not sure what you're getting. That's risky. If Earl Thomas was healthy, I think the Cowboys might have gone all in on him, but you don't know what you're getting out of Earl.
You know, it strikes me that the Cowboys, I think, as they looked at Earl Thomas, looked at their 2020 salary cap and say, which is better for us, a year of Earl Thomas or a year with these six people over here that we can acquire?
Well, I would agree with that. And, you know, Earl's 30 this season. You look at, if you go back and track all the guys that have been cut, all the veterans that have been cut this offseason, and this is quite standard, all these guys are 30 years old and older. Those guys, once you get to 30, you are expendable in the NFL. You generally don't reward players with big contracts in their 30s. That's not good business. And
okay.
I think that's one of the reasons they backed off on Earl. He's 30, and he's coming off a major injury.
Let's talk business. Who did you like what they did this offseason? Who did you not like what they did this offseason?
Well, the big money always bothers me. Because I think when you spend that kind of money, the $66 million that the Raiders gave to Trent Brown,
mm-hmm.
I thought that was ridiculous. When he had a bad year at San Francisco, resurrected his career in New England, now you're making him an elite left tackle. C.J. Mosley, $85 million. And I think we talked about this last week. The five impact positions on a football field: quarterback, wide receiver, edge rusher, cornerback, and edge rusher. Mosley's middle linebacker. He's not an impact player. Give him $51 million guaranteed. Landon Washington, $84 million. Safety is traditionally not an impact player. $45 million guaranteed. I mean, these are not impact positions you're giving impact money to. And I think that catches up with you over the years when you have to pay your edge rusher and your quarterback and your cover corner. You can't make these mistakes the first week of free agency. And repeatedly we see that. You know, I thought Detroit given Flowers, $90 million, $40 million guaranteed, a guy had never been to a Pro Bowl. This is the Malik Jackson contract revisited.
Detroit gave 4 years for $36 million to a nickel corner.
Yeah. And also, be careful when you're looking at New England. If you're not signing Tom Brady in free agency, you're signing the wrong Patriot. And if you're not hiring Bill Belichick to coach your team, you're hiring the wrong coach off that staff. So just be careful. There's two reasons the Patriots win championships, and those guys aren't available each offseason. So be careful what you do when you spend there.
Hey, Rick, appreciate your insight, pal.
Okay, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Week.